Good morning. Thank you for joining our call today to discuss Coca-Cola Hellenic Bottling Company's results for 2015. Today, I'm joined by our Chief Executive Officer, Dimitris Lloyd, and our Chief Financial Officer, Michalis Imenos. Following the presentation by Dimitris and Michalis, we will open the floor to questions. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that this conference call contains various forward-looking statements. These should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements on the screen. This information can also be viewed in our press release issued today. Now, let me turn the call over to Dimitris.
Thank you, Basak. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. I will start by giving an overview of 2015 before Michalis takes you through our financial performance. I will then discuss our operational performance and the outlook for the year. I'm pleased with our progress in 2015. Our results demonstrate that our commercial initiatives are delivering strong top-line growth. This, coupled with our ongoing efficiency efforts, has also significantly improved our profitability. Starting with top line, we achieved a 2.6% volume growth in the year with contributions from all three segments. This marks the first year of volume growth for our group after four consecutive years of decline. Our revenue growth management initiatives enable us to grow our currency-neutral net sales revenue per case for the fifth consecutive year. Favorable input cost environment, volume leverage, as well as our revenue growth and cost management initiatives helped us significantly improve our operational profitability, leading to 100 basis points expansion of EBIT margin. Comparable earnings per share was 0.86, a 14% increase on the prior year. Furthermore, our consistent focus on disciplined working capital management led to further improvements in working capital balance sheet position and days. Looking at our overall performance in the face of challenging macroeconomic and trading conditions in many of our markets, we are pleased to have taken an important step in returning our business to sustainable growth and higher margins. With this confidence, our board proposes a 0.40 dividend per share, which represent an 11% increase from the prior year. With that, I will turn the call over to Michalis.
Thank you, Dimitris, and hello, everyone. In line with our practice, as I take you through our financial results for the full year, I will refer to comparable figures which exclude the impact of restructuring costs, the mark-to-market valuation impact of commodity hedges, and specific non-recurring items. As Dimitris mentioned, our volume increased by 2.6% in the full year. Underlying volume growth trends remained strong in the fourth quarter, that is, after adjusting for the four fewer selling days in the quarter. Net sales revenue declined by 2.5% in the full year, negatively affected by the significant currency headwinds, particularly in our emerging market segment. Currency-neutral net sales revenue per unit case improved marginally. While our pricing actions to offset the currency headwinds in certain markets were a positive factor, affordability measures and deflationary pressures in other markets worked against us. Favorable input cost environment and volume leverage helped expand our gross profit margin, while the foreign currency impact was a negative factor. The net result was a 100 basis point expansion in the gross profit margin. Our optimization initiatives, supported by restructuring, led to a stable performance in operating expenses as a percentage of revenue, despite a substantial negative impact of currency on revenues. I will come back to this later in my presentation. Comparable operating profit increased in the full year by 11% versus the prior year, and comparable operating profit margin expanded by 100 basis points. Favorable input costs and operating leverage more than offset the adverse currency impact that reached 174 million euros in the year. Comparable EPS reached 0.86, 14% higher than prior year. Our consistent actions to optimize working capital continue to drive improvements in both the working capital balance and the working capital days compared to the prior year. We achieved a triple-digit negative working capital balance for the first time ever. We generated strong free cash flow of 412 million euros in the full year, up 79 million compared to the prior year. Turning to the revenue performance in more detail, FX neutral net sales revenue per case improved marginally in comparison to the prior year. The key driver was our revenue growth management initiatives, including pricing, in order to mitigate adverse foreign currency movements in markets impacted by currency depreciation. However, this good performance was partially offset by limited pricing opportunity in certain deflationary economies and markets with affordability concerns. In our established markets, FX neutral net sales revenue per case declined by 2.4%. This decline was driven by deterioration in price mix, given deflationary pressures, as well as negative category mix. In developing markets, improved category mix was not enough to offset unfavorable price and channel mix, leading to a 2.4% decline in FX neutral net sales revenue per case. The emerging markets saw a 4% improvement in FX neutral net sales revenue per case. This was mainly the result of our pricing actions put in place to mitigate the FX headwinds in countries facing currency depreciation and the associated inflation. Category mix was also positive, more than offset by negative channel mix. Turning to input cost, FX neutral input cost per case declined by 9% in the full year, in line with our expectations. The key drivers for the decline were mostly lower EU and world sugar prices, as well as improved PET resin prices, which are correlated to the declining oil prices. Turning to our OPEX performance, our consistent focus on optimizing our operating cost base achieved good results in the year, leading to a nearly 50 million euro absolute reduction in operating expenses. Operating expenses as a percentage of net sales revenue remained stable in the year at 29.2%. This is because good progress on our cost efficiency actions was offset by increased FX management costs attributable to the extreme currency volatility in the year. Let me walk you through these drivers of the operating expenses as a percentage of net sales revenue on a segmental basis. In established markets, we continue to make good progress on cost optimization as a result of our restructuring efforts, with a 40 basis points improvement, which was invested back in the market with a 40 basis points increase in marketing spend. In developing markets, the startup cost on our investment in an automated warehouse was the main driver behind the 20 basis points increase in operating expenses. In addition, we invested significantly in the market with a 50 basis points increase year on year. In emerging markets, our recent restructuring focus has paid off with a 50 basis point improvement in cost management performance. Marketing costs also improved on a reported basis as we cycled the Sochi Olympics and other investments of last year. This was partly offset by forex management costs going up by 40 basis points due to the significant currency volatility in the year. Cost efficiency remains a key priority across our business, and we are confident that we can achieve significant improvements in operating expenses as percentage of net sales revenue in 2016. Turning to operating performance, we recorded comparable operating profit of 473 million euros in the year, 48 million higher than in the prior year. Overall, volume leverage, lower input costs, and cost control more than offset the impact of adverse foreign exchange movements. Volume leverage and input costs were tailwinds across the segments, while adverse currency impact was a headwind predominantly for the emerging segment. Let me provide you with some more color on these key drivers on a segmental basis. In established markets, we benefited from volume leverage, input cost tailwinds, mainly from EU sugar, and cost optimization initiatives. These were only partially offset by adverse impact from our affordability measures and deflationary pressures in several of our markets. Developing markets had an even more pronounced favorable impact from input costs, further supported by volume leverage in view of their stronger volume growth. These benefits were offset to some extent by the affordability initiatives we put in place. Volume leverage and input costs benefits were a tailwind for emerging markets as well. There are, however, two elements differentiating the performance of this segment. This segment attracts nearly all of the 174 million euro adverse FX P&L impact, and this is only partly offset by pricing initiatives we implemented within the framework of our efforts to mitigate this currency impact. As far as restructuring is concerned, we incurred restructuring charges of 54 million euros on the year, mostly focused on established and emerging markets. The restructuring benefits in 2015 amounted to 51 million euros. Looking ahead to 2016, we expect annual restructuring costs of approximately 35 million, with estimated annualized benefits of 25 million euros from 2017 onwards. The savings in 2016 from initiatives taken in 2015 and those that will be taken in 2016 are expected to reach 22 million euros. Turning now to free cash flow, we generated 412 million euros in the year, 79 million above prior year. We are pleased to report that this brings the last 3 years' free cash flow total to 1.16 billion euros, achieving our target for 1.1 to 1.2 billion in the 3-year period 2013 to 2015. The free cash flow increase was driven by working capital improvements and capital expenditure, further supported by operating profitability growth. We remain disciplined in our working capital management approach, as evident in the working capital triple-digit negative amount and working capital days ongoing improvement year on year. Looking ahead, our annual CapEx spending over the medium term is expected to remain in the range between 5.5% to 6.5% of net sales revenue. In 2016, this ratio could be at the lower end of this range in view of the overall economic volatility. We remain confident in our proven ability to generate solid free cash flow in the short to medium term, despite macroeconomic and currency headwinds. Let me now touch upon the financing of our business. Total net financing costs amounted to 68 million euros, decreasing by 5 million compared to prior year. This improvement was mainly driven by the cessation of hyperinflation accounting in Belarus and lower foreign exchange remeasurement losses from the Ukrainian hryvnia and the Nigerian naira. Our net debt to comparable EBITDA ratio stood at just over 1.5 times at year-end. In view of the volatile and uncertain environment in the near term, we expect to maintain a net debt to comparable EBITDA ratio of approximately 1.5 times. Before I conclude, let me take you through 2 slides that could help you with your modeling. Firstly, a portrayal of the operating leverage formula that we provided to you in 2015. As a reminder, all else being equal, 1 percentage point of volume growth yields 25 basis points of EBIT margin improvement, while 1 percentage point of revenue growth yields 70 basis points of EBIT margin improvement. Applying this formula to our results, our 100 basis points EBIT margin expansion in the year can be explained as follows. 70 basis points expansion from volume leverage based on the 2.6% volume growth in the year, 20 basis points expansion from revenue leverage based on the 0.3% growth in FX neutral net sales revenue per case in the year, 10 basis points contraction from the net impact from FX hit and input cost benefits, and finally 20 basis points expansion from our cost productivity initiatives. Turning now to 2016 and the volatility we have experienced so far in the year, let me walk you through an analysis with regard to the impact of oil prices on input costs and foreign exchange, two key drivers of our financial performance. Oil prices are fairly closely correlated with resin prices, which account for approximately 8% of our cost of goods sold. In addition, oil prices impact the currency exchange rates of major oil exporting countries, in our case, predominantly the Russian ruble. As you will appreciate, for any given oil price movement, the resin price and the ruble exchange rate move in opposite directions, thus providing to some extent a natural hedge to each other, albeit not one for one. The ruble rate has a greater impact than the resin price movement. In our example, we have depicted the year-on-year impact of FX and input costs on EBIT from a $30 oil price movement from current spot prices. This chart is not to scale, but it shows the following. At the current oil price and FX spot rates, we expect a 135 million euro negative FX impact on the P&L versus prior year, as well as a low single-digit growth in input cost per case. This is the left-hand side of the chart, and this is the scenario for which we have built our actions for the year. If the oil price were to move $30 higher today and stay there for the remainder of the year, we would expect an 80 million euro negative FX impact on the P&L versus prior year, as well as a mid-single-digit growth in input cost per case. This is the right-hand side of the graph. Therefore, in this example, a $30 oil price increase generates a 20 million euro relief versus the total P&L impact estimated at the current spot rates. This natural hedging mechanism between FX and resin costs that I described ensures that oil price swings either side of the current spot rate scenario generate relatively small size impacts to EBIT, relief if the oil price increases, or hit if the oil price reduces from current spot levels. In other words, we have prepared for the current challenging spot rate scenario and expect that any oil price upside will generate a small benefit to the bottom line. Clearly, as things stand, we expect a scenario somewhere along the spectrum that we are showing to you on this slide, although it is very difficult to be precise at this point in time. In conclusion, we expect to continue on the volume growth trajectory of 2015, accelerate the FX neutral NSR per case growth to pre-2015 levels, and deliver cost improvements. Driving these three pillars ensures top-line growth and profit margin expansion in 2016. The successful execution of our mitigation strategy in 2015 gives us confidence that we can deal with the 2016 headwinds as well. With that, let me now pass the floor to Dimitris, who will provide some more color on our operational performance in 2015.
Thank you, Michali. I will now turn to the operational highlights for the period. Overall, volume increased by 2.6% in the year, cycling and 2.8% decline in the prior year. All three market segments grew in 2015, while emerging and developing markets were the main growth drivers. Established markets also returned to growth. Looking at volume growth by country, the year-on-year improvement was predominantly driven by Nigeria, Romania, Poland, Ukraine, and Hungary. In the established markets, volume increased by 1%, following a 5.4% decline in the prior year. Water performance, coupled with good growth in Italy and Greece, more than offset the decline in Ireland. Developing market performance was strong, following our successful rationalization strategy in 2014. we achieve a 5.7% growth in the year, cycling a 6% decline in the prior year. Good performance across the segment, mainly driven by good sparkling growth supported by water performance. In emerging markets, volume grew by 2.5%, cycling stable performance in the prior year. Volume performance in the year was driven by continued growth momentum in Nigeria, strong performances in Romania and Ukraine, as well as exceptional performance in juice. The juice category grew well in Russia, partly supported by the addition of Moya Semia, but also in Nigeria, where it registered high teens growth. Looking at our performance by category, sparkling beverage volumes increased by 2% in the year. This performance was driven by a number of elements. Firstly, execution of initiatives at the point of sale. A good example is our ongoing work to develop occasions such as Coke with food across our territory. Also, our focus targeted and better quality marketing such as Share Coke in Nigeria. And finally, the development segment, our performance in the organized trade. Within the category, trademark Coca-Cola increased by 3% and Coke Zero by 24%, supported by the launch in Russia. Juice continued its positive momentum, delivering growth of 8%. Russia was the main contributor to this growth as a result of the drive behind our expanded juice portfolio in the country with Moya Semia. We also delivered good growth in juices in Nigeria, Greece, Bulgaria, and Serbia. Excluding Moya Semia, the growth in the juice category overall for the group was 2%. Water grew by 5% in the year, demonstrating good performance in most of our countries, particularly Ukraine, Poland, and Romania. Additional investments behind our brands and promo intensity in the markets with affordability concerns were key drivers along with the good weather in Q3. Energy maintained its growth with volumes up 7%, driven by Hungary, Poland, and Ireland. Ready-to-drink tea performance remained weak, except in certain markets such as Romania and Ukraine. Turning now to the reporting segments and some of our bigger countries in each segment. We are very pleased to see established market segment returning to growth. Volume grew by 1%, cycling a 5.4% decline in the prior year. In Italy, we are seeing positive signs such as expansion of disposable income. However, the underlying macroeconomic and trading environment remains challenging. Within this context, our focus on executing our OBPPC strategy with key initiatives behind the glass contour bottle and Coke with food led to growth in most of our key categories. Sparkling categories 2% growth was driven by trademark Coke, Fanta and Sprite. Water also performed well at 4% growth, driving overall growth in the stills category. Single serve mix also improved in the year as a result of our OBPPC actions, especially in sparkling. Greece grew by 1% in the year, building on the 2% growth in 2014. Still drinks, especially water and juice, were the key growth drivers. We are pleased with this performance in a very challenging trading conditions. Looking ahead, we remain cautious as the microeconomic environment is uncertain. In Switzerland, volume was stable in the year, cycling a 7% decline in the prior year. Good performance in water, which grew by 6% in the year, an increase in trademark Coke offset decline in the other categories. While deflationary pressures limited the opportunities for price increase in established markets, package mix was favorable owing to our focus on OBPPC initiatives. In our developing markets, we grew volume from a healthier base while expanding our profitability. With this, I'm referring to a 40 million euro EBIT uplift in the segment. Overall, the segment grew volume by 6% in the period with contributions from all of the countries. The sparkling beverage category was the main growth driver in the segment, supported by water and to a lesser extent by juice.
In Poland, volume increased by 7% in the year. We saw good performances across most of our categories, with sparkling beverages growing by 7%, driven by good results in the organized trade. Still beverages also grew by 7%, driven by water performance. In the Czech Republic, we also saw increases across all key categories. Water, which grew by mid-teens, was the key driver. Double-digit growth in Fanta led sparkling to a 2% increase, while juice also grew mid-teens. In Hungary, 8% volume growth was driven by sparkling beverages, which increased by 8%. Water also grew by low teens, driven by marketing activations in the fragmented trade. Our focus on increasing single-serve contribution also delivered results, with package mix improving 1.7 percentage points in the year. Deflationary pressures in the segment, combined with less favorable channel mix, resulted in a 2.4% reduction in FX-neutral net sales revenue per case. Volume in emerging markets grew by 2.5% in the year in the face of challenging conditions in some of our markets. We are pleased with our performance in Russia, as we are outperforming the market and we are in line with our expectations. More specifically, volumes in Russia declined by 6%, in line with our expectation, in an NARTD market declining by double digits. This performance is largely driven by the juice category, which benefited from the increased distribution of Moja Semilla brand, as well as organic growth. The performance of Coke Zero following its launch in May has been very encouraging, helping trademark Coca-Cola arrest its decline at 2%. Volume growth in Nigeria was robust, increasing by 10% in the year. A successful Share a Coke campaign, additional PET bottle production capacity, and improved product availability helped sparkling grow by low teens. Furthermore, the pulpy juice innovation drove high teens growth in this category. We continue to capitalize on the growth opportunities that Nigeria has to offer. Volume in Romania increased by 11% in the year, with good performance across our portfolio, partly supported by the VAT reduction in June. Good performance in sparkling, both in trademark Coca-Cola as well as in Fanta, was further supported by water and juice growth. Package mix continued to improve, driven by good growth in both sparkling and water single-serve packages. FX neutral revenue per case grew by 4% in the period, in line with our strategy to implement pricing initiatives in the markets facing currency headwinds. In closing, we are happy with our performance in 2015, which we consider as the first step on our journey to return to growth, both in top as well as the bottom line. We are encouraged by the slowly improving conditions in many of our markets. Our business is strong, and our track record gives us confidence to address the challenging conditions in some of our geographies. Looking at 2016, we expect volume growth in all segments, a substantial improvement in FX neutral net sales revenue per case, more in line with our performance prior to 2015. Currency depreciation and the associated inflation will remain a key feature in some of our markets, and we see inflation picking up in our more developed markets. At current oil price levels, input costs are expected to be a low single-digit headwind in the year, mainly driven by world sugar. Taking into account our hedge positions and the current spot rates, the adverse impact on EBIT from foreign currency would be in the region of 135 million euro for the full year. Our actions in cost management are expected to result in a significant reduction in operating expenses as percentage of net sales revenue, supporting EBIT margin growth. And with that, I will hand over to the operator, and Michalis and I will take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, just another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypads. We do have questions coming through. The first question is from the line of Sanjit Ulia from Credit Suisse in London. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Dimitris, Mihailos. Just two or three questions from my side, please. Firstly, on the OPEX guidance, you talk about a significant reduction of the percentage of sales. Can you just give us a bit of color on your intentions for marketing spend for the year? Secondly, just on pricing, you mention an easing of the deflationary environment you've seen in Europe. Can you just give us a little bit of color there? What are you hearing from retailers across Europe? And on Nigeria in particular, you've had a bit of a slowdown in the second half of 2015. Can you just give us a sense of what the underlying category growth rates are and where you are on your product availability? Thanks.
Sure. Let me start with the first question with regards to OPEX. Yes, we do expect in 2016 a substantial reduction of the OPEX as percent of revenue. Obviously, this is greatly affected by our expectation to grow the revenue per case on an FX neutral. With this in mind, on the marketing spend, first of all, let me give you a bit of color. In 2015, we invested a lot behind marketing, and this was focused mainly behind developing and established. Developing and established, we increased our marketing spend by more than 20%. With these levels, we feel comfortable for 2016, and at current, the expectation is that marketing expenses will more or less follow the revenue growth, and this, of course, will have specific initiatives per country. But overall, we are at a good level, and we will follow the overall revenue growth with regards to marketing spend. Going on the pricing, yes, we have seen this deflationary space in both established and developing, improving towards a healthy inflation, and we have seen that in the past 4 or 5 months. In the latest discussion we had with the big retailers in Europe, this is also being confirmed, and along with the low prices in oil and the quantitative easing, we do expect that this will continue throughout the year, and that obviously is going to be another supporting element to our revenue per case on both established and developing. Moving to Nigeria, we were very pleased with this year growth, and this has been the case in all of the quarters. Just want to remind you that the last two quarters we were cycling very strong growth back in 2014. Now, obviously, with the oil prices and the external environment, we do expect that Nigeria next year is going to be a key growth driver, but the overall growth rate is going to be less than what we have seen this year. So this year, in 2015, apologies, we grew by double digit. Our expectation at this point of time is most probably mid-single digit, potentially a bit better than mid-single digit. But that's where we are. We are very confident that Nigeria is going to be a key growth driver.
Can you just give us a bit more color on what's driving that confidence? I know you've had some a positive impact from expansion of capacity last year. Is there a little bit more of that to come? And can you just give us a sense of what the underlying category is doing in Nigeria?
Yes, there are a couple of reasons behind this optimism. First of all, I will start with the excellent campaigns, and this is not only for Nigeria, this is overall. The Taste the Feeling campaign, in our view, is the best campaign we had in the last 10 years. And this obviously will play a key role next year. Nigeria is one of our countries that we have already launched this campaign. On top, we have two additional areas that have been performing extremely well. That's the Share a Coke and the Coke Studio. So we have this triangle
that we believe will be key to driving our performance. Second, we have and we continue to expand our capacity behind PET. PET has been the key growth driver. And also, we are working with our OBBPC behind PET, because this will also drive further our volume. But it's not only sparkling. We have been very happy with what we saw from the consumers with regards to our pulpy juice. This grew in 15 by 19%. And just a reminder, we launched that towards the end of Q3. So first of all, we are expanding distribution. We are having a whole year, and we have additional flavors. The third element that we are also very happy is that we are launching Monster. This most probably is going to be towards the second part of the year, between Q3 and Q4. Obviously, this will drive both volume. More importantly, will drive revenue. So all the cylinders are firing in Nigeria. That's why we are also very optimistic.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Simon Hales from Barclays in London. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Morning, everybody. A couple of questions, if I can. Can I just get a bit more clarity around the FX guidance for 2016? Are you able to split that $135 million hit between translation and transactional impact as you see it this year? And then secondly, Michalis, you helpfully gave some sensitivity analysis around the oil price. When you look at the $135 million of FX headwind you've got for next year, have you made any assumptions around the Naira devaluation that we may see within that so $135 headwind, or if we saw a devaluation, would that be incremental to your expectations for 2016? And finally, just around overall margin outlook for the year, I understand from the presentation how we can see, you know, good organic margin expansion again this year, but do you also expect reported margins for the group to also be up year on year?
Hi, Simon. Yes, let me take your three questions. So on the first one, with regard to the split of the 135 million, around 80% of that will be transactional, so around 110 million. And again, this is based on the current spot rates. It's not necessarily our expectation for the full year. It's difficult to have a precise expectation at this point in time. But just to have a stick in the ground, based on the current spot rates, this is what we see. On your second question about the Naira devaluation, in the 135 million, we have assumed the spot rate for Naira, so around 199 to the dollar. And just to give you some sensitivity, taking into account everything that has happened so far in the year, we are looking at every 10% devaluation in the Naira generating something like 7 million euros of negative impact to the bottom line. Clearly, that's before we take any mitigating actions, so we would not expect that for every 10% of devaluation, the net-net benefit to the bottom line would be 7 million. We would expect it would be less, because obviously we would take some actions to mitigate that. And finally, with regard to your third question on the comparable margins, clearly what changes this year is that we expect input costs to grow as opposed to 2015, which were a tailwind. And what will compensate that, broadly speaking, is a faster acceleration of the revenue per case growth on a currency neutral basis. So these are the dynamics. Now, on the reported level, at this point in time, we should expect that more or less the trends will be similar. Usually what happens in reported is that we incorporate also the restructuring impacts, but this is not going to be significantly different between 2016 and 2015. Therefore, at this point in time, there is nothing that should move in a different direction the comparable versus the reporting. Now, just to clarify, for the Naira devaluation, obviously the 7 million is a hit, and after the mitigating actions, the net result will continue to be a hit, obviously, but smaller than the 7 million.
Perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sam Draziotis from Eurobank Equities in Athens. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi there, and thank you very much for taking my questions. I have one follow-up and one other question, please. Let me start with a follow-up on the 2016 outlook. I was just wondering, do you see volumes growing at a similar pace as in 2016, please? And what does this mean in general for free cash flow generation over the next 3 years? Any sort of guidance you could give us as to whether we should expect the next 3 years to be better relative to the period 2013-2015 in terms of free cash flow, please. And the second question would be regarding your shareholder policy. It's clear that you operate at the low end of your targeted gearing. So I guess that also depends on what happens in 2016. But could you maybe give us some color regarding your intentions to reward shareholders, please?
Good morning. Let me take the first two points, and then Michalis will give a bit more color on the third one. So with regards to the outlook, starting from established, and just to remind you, in 2015, overall, we had a strong tailwind from weather in Q3. That has been far more evident in established and developing. So with this in mind, we are working to have broadly similar growth rates for established. In 2015, the growth rate was 1%. Now, going to developing, the growth rate in 2015 was 5.7. We are working to grow, obviously, at a decelerated growth rate than what we have seen in 2015. Going in emerging, another segment where we're going to go very early at this point of time, taking into consideration the volatility we see in Russia, and Russia playing a very important role. At this point of time, we believe that we're going to grow at a decelerated growth rate versus the 2.5% that we saw in 2015. With regards to guidance on the free cash flow, we are not giving free cash flow guidance. And with that, let me pass the floor to Michalis for your third question.
So you refer to the net debt to comparable EBITDA ratio, which closed at 1.51 times, which is right at the bottom end of our guided range of 1.5 to 2. We believe that in view of the ongoing uncertainty and volatility, this is not a bad place to be. It is a position that allows for more flexibility in decision-making in the future. And it gives us also the opportunity to accommodate any bolt-on acquisitions in line with our strategy. So if after considering these factors, we find ourselves in the need to optimize our gearing, then we would not rule out the possibility of...
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nicole McHugh from Goldman Sachs in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just two questions. One is wanted to clarify, you mentioned that Monster would be launching in Nigeria this year. If there are any key markets that you will be launching Monster in 2016? And secondly, the Coca-Cola company announced that they made an acquisition of a stake in a juice brand in Nigeria. And I'm just wondering, kind of, what is the impact on your business? Do these brands compete with your brands? And would you see kind of some strategic rationale for integrating that within your business?
Sure. Good morning. First of all, on Monster, we have been one of the bottlers that have been working with Monster in a good part of our territory before the agreement between the Coca-Cola Company and Monster. Currently, we have launched already in Russia. We are, as we speak, launching in Italy. And we will be launching also, as I said, in Nigeria sometime between Q3 and Q4. And all of the rest of our markets will be we will be launching within 2016. Going to your second question, let me give you a bit of a background on the deal with CHI. First of all, we welcome the Coca-Cola Company's investment in CHI, since we believe that this will make the system a lot stronger in Nigeria in the long term. If you look at our history with the Coca-Cola Company, you will see that there are several examples where either the Coca-Cola Company or Hellenic was involved in the first instance in an acquisition with the other party, without the other party. Now, these examples have eventually resulted in such acquisitions being integrated with our joint business in due course. As this specific acquisition of CHI involves a minority stake in the first place, it makes complete sense for the Coca-Cola Company to make this investment. And let me also tell you a little more on Nigeria. We have built our joint business in Nigeria to become the number one NARTD business. So we remain fully aligned, and that's both strategically and operationally. And this is evident in the large investments that both parties have made in Nigeria to generate this robust growth we have seen in the last couple of years. So together with the company, we see even more growth opportunities in the portfolio, which requires significant investments to realize. So we are fully aligned to keep that as our first priority.
Our next question is from the line of Nick Oliver from UBS in London. Please go ahead, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the questions. Can I ask first, on your category split, could you remind us the current split between, say, sparkling, juices, waters, and then how you expect that to evolve over the short to medium term? Secondly, on Russia, clearly a material outperformance versus the market in 2015. Can you give us some sense of how you expect the market to develop in 2016 and whether you'll be outperforming that again? And finally, on the free cash flow side, I think earlier you signaled some scope for further improvement in working capital. Can you just help us to understand what lines we should look at there? Thank you.
Morning, Nick. Our current split is 69% sparkling, and out of that, 8% is the lights and zero. We have a 19% contribution from water, and then around 7 for juice and 6 for tea. Now, with this in mind, looking at our growth this year, 50% came from sparkling and 50% came from non-carbonated beverages. And I'm saying that because 15 has been particular year, and I'm saying that with a positive connotation with regards to water. And this is mainly driven behind a very warm Q3. Now, with this in mind, let me go to the second question that has to do with Russia. We are confident that also in 2016 we will outperform the market as we did in 2015. And here are a couple of reasons why we have this confidence. First of all, Russia has been one of the three global markets within Coca-Cola that we introduced the one brand strategy, that is Coca-Cola with different variants, and it tested extremely well. Now with this also we introduced Zero sometime in May, and also we have introduced at more or less the same time our entry pack. So next year we have a full year of the one brand strategy approach. We have a full year of Zero and also a full year of our entry pack, that both Zero and entry pack has been doing extremely well. So that's one element. Second element, we are very happy with juice. And as a matter of fact, this has been a year where we substantially improved our overall NARTD market share. Juice has been playing a key, a pivotal role. We are expanding further distribution in our Moya Semilla, and we have been also growing Dobri. So that's a second area. And the third area, as I said a little while ago, we are very excited with the launch of Monster. This is a good energy market. We are very excited to have the dual approach supporting both Burn and Monster. So this is another area that will help our volume and, more importantly, our revenue. With regards to your last question, I'll pass that to Michalis to give you a bit more clarity.
Yes, on the free cash flow drivers going forward, clearly working capital and CapEx, we would not expect to be drivers of growth, because in working capital we might have some room for further improvement, but obviously the contribution will be diminishing now as we go along. The key drivers going forward will be from operating profitability, and also as the cost of our restructuring actions is going down gradually. We already announced a smaller plan for restructuring costs in 2016 versus 15. This also contributes to a positive free cash flow going forward.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Edward Mundy from Nomura in London. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Thanks very much for the clear slides and disclosure. I've got three questions. The first is really around your volume outlook, where you're guiding for growth in each segment. And I know that in 2015 you had a very strong rebound in both the established and developing markets against easy comparators. But on a two-year view, you know, volumes haven't grown in these regions. And, you know, given you're going to need to take more pricing as the tailwind from input costs abates, you know, what gives you confidence you're going to be able to grow your volumes in both the established and developing? The second question is on margins. There's quite a big deterioration in the second half within the emerging. Was this purely down to the negative transactional risk? And the third question is on bolt-ons. I think you mentioned with a balance sheet of 1.5 times net debt to EBITDA, you're looking at bolt-ons. Is this in new markets outside of Europe, and is this into new categories?
On your first question and the volume outlook, there are a lot of elements that gives us confidence that we will grow both on established, and as I said a little while ago, established will be broadly at the same growth rate of 15, which we consider a success, taking into consideration the strong weather tailwind, and also in developing, but at a lower growth rate than the 5.7. So let me give you five areas that we feel confident. First of all, the pricing that you referred to, this is for us the evolution from deflationary to inflationary, for the fact that we do see more disposable income, and that allows us to be a bit more flexible with regards to pricing. On top, we have been focusing a lot in 15, and that would accelerate on two major occasions, and that's meals and socializing at home and away from home. And eventually through that, we have targeted to grow transactions faster than volume, and we have achieved that.
So the focus behind occasions is going to be even stronger on those two. The second element is space and points of interaction. We have greatly improved the points of interaction with more displays, and also we have improving our space in the permanent beverage section, and this is something that will continue in all of our established and developing countries. The third element is the focus behind small baskets, and here a very clear targeted focus behind distribution, numeric distribution of our 1 and the 125 liters, and then eventually more and better marketing. And I'm saying more and better marketing. We have seen the more than 20% increase in established and developing. We are at a good level. We will increase in few of the markets further, and that will obviously have a tailwind having three key elements. And the three key elements is the taste, the filling campaign, which we have tested in most of our markets, and it's testing extremely well versus any other campaign. This is second element, which is the euro, and we have 13 of our business units being qualified. So this will drive single serve, and this will drive excitement and transactions, and obviously it's an Olympics game. Finally, targeted promo activity in the organized trade. So those are the six reasons why we believe that volume will grow further, both in established and developing. And with that, let me pass the floor to Michali.
Yes, good morning, Ed. On your second question about the second half margin deterioration, this is something that was absolutely expected right from the beginning of the year. You may recall we had pointed that there would be a shift of around 30 million euros of EBIT between first half and second half, and that was primarily due to the four selling days phasing that quarter one, January more specifically, had in 2015 versus 2014, versus the four fewer selling days in December in 15 versus 14. So that the volume leverage there, deleverage and leverage respectively, is what is driving the shift of the EBIT and therefore the profit margin. In addition, if you look at quarter three, the very hot weather drove a significantly higher mix of water versus sparkling, and that also had an impact on the profit margin. And of course, there has been gradually deterioration in effects towards the second part of the year compared to the first. And these are mainly the factors that, as we were expecting, we saw second half worse margin than the first half. On your third question around the bolt-on acquisitions, we wouldn't right now prefer specific geographic areas. We are looking across our territory for local brands with strong equity that match very well our portfolio. Clearly, you might see that emerging and developing markets might present us with more opportunities, but we wouldn't preclude any part of the territory in terms of bolt-on acquisition.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of David Reed from BlackRock in London. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, and thank you for the call today. And I was interested to know whether you've had any issues at all with capital repatriation from that country and how much cash you currently have in country at the moment.
Hi, we didn't hear the whole question, but I suppose you refer to Nigeria. Is that right?
Yes, so I'll repeat it. My question was, are you having any issues with capital repatriation from Nigeria at the moment? And how much cash do you have in country?
Okay. So we are not in a phase where we are looking to repatriate cash because Nigeria is a growth market. So if anything, We continue to invest in revenue-generating CAPEX, and therefore net-net we are not looking at this point to repatriate cash. So this is not a situation where it would be applicable for us. Having said that, the situation with sourcing US dollars locally is known. However, if we were to be able, through the weekly auctions, to acquire dollars, which we can right now, and we can cover our working capital needs to, I would say, 30 to 50% on a monthly basis, potentially dividend payments would not be an issue. In terms of how much cash is in Nigeria, there is, as I said, an ongoing activity which funds the working capital requirements. So we are not finding ourselves in a position that we have cash trapped in Nigeria that we would have liked to repatriate, and we are not potentially able to do so.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps then I should ask how much working capital you have in country.
There isn't a specific number that I can give right now. We can come back to you later. But overall, working capital in Nigeria is in a very good shape. We are potentially slightly below zero days, so effectively negative working capital. So we are not facing any issues in terms of either piling up cash locally or having excessive needs to inject cash in Nigeria.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the detail.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Charles Pick from Numis in London. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thanks very much, gentlemen. Yeah, I've got a couple more questions on Nigeria, I'm afraid. Did you stockpile raw materials last year, or have you done to any extent, including concentrates? And can you spell out, please, what percentage of the volume there is now juice-related? And also at the PZ Cousins briefing a couple of weeks ago, they were emphasising how the expectation is that the Naira will devalue to about 300 to the dollar, potentially. Do you share that view? And then separately, the Lithuanian deal that's mentioned, is that presumably quite small, and might you go into sparkling drinks in that country as well? And you also usually give an indication of for the measured territories, which I think is 25, as to what percentage you've maintained or grown your market share in. And finally, just on the FX front, can you verify, please, what percentage of the circa 1.4 circa 174 million last year was transactional, and then what you're assuming for the ruble rate for the current year when you compiled the 135 million expected hit?
Let me take two of your questions, and then I guess the other three will go to Michalis. Juice in Nigeria is still a small contribution, mid-single digits, with great growth perspective. And as I said, in 2015, we have seen a 20% increase. It's one of the growth key growth categories. Now, going to our Neptunas acquisition, I would like to say a few words. First of all, Neptunas has an excellent reputation in the local market, and a very high brand love score, strong equity, and association with the consumers in Lithuania. It's a very successful product, and it commands a 20% share of the water category, and also having excellent quality and characteristics. So this is absolutely in line with what we are targeting, strong local brands with heritage. Obviously, this will greatly support our market share in Lithuania. So with this, let me pass the floor to Michalis for your other three questions.
Okay. I think the first one was on the sourcing of the raw materials in Nigeria.
I was just wondering if you'd stockpiled raw materials expecting the devaluation.
Sorry, say that again.
I was wondering if you'd stockpiled raw materials at the end of last year.
Okay. We have executed some pre-buys for sugar and resin. So in Nigeria, we are covered by around two-thirds of our sugar needs for 2016. And let me remind you that sugar we source locally, 100%, and also the majority of our needs for aluminium are locally sourced. Glass, which is very important, specifically in Nigeria, is also locally sourced. And resin, obviously, we acquire through a local importer. Concentrate, of course, there is no issue. So we have not experienced any issues on the sourcing, and we have taken steps with some pre-buys, primarily on sugar, and to some extent, as far as we could, on resin. Moving to the devaluation of the currency, we wouldn't like to quote right now an expectation per se. We have heard from analysts anything between a 10 to 20% devaluation. I believe anything above that is probably more extreme for the year. And on your question about the effects, for 2015, around 84% was transactional, so around 146 million out of the 174 was transactional in 15. And in terms of the spot rate for the ruble for 2016, we used the levels where it is more or less at the moment, more precisely 78 rubles to the dollar. Today, I think it's at around 76.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tristan Van Strien from Deutsche Bank in London. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen and lady. Three questions, please. I think the first one, just going back to your slide on page 15, Michalis, your input costs, just remind me, does that exclude distribution cost that's in your OPEX, whether it is or not? And what is the what are the distribution costs as a percentage of your total cost base at the moment, and how will the oil price affect that? Just some color on that. The second question is around both Monster and Zero. You already discussed Monster a little bit. This first one is can I assume that your gross margins are bigger than the average on those brands? And Zero, is there more potential for expansion on that particular brand as well, Coke Zero? And the last question on Russia, can you just give some color on the organized trade there? What percentage of your volume is now going through key accounts, and how that has evolved over the last few years in that market? Thank you.
Morning, Tristan. Let me take your three questions, and then Michalis will refer to your first one. With regards to Monster, as I said, we are launching in all of our markets. Obviously, this is a high-value category, so this will have a good result both in top and then in the bottom line. Second, with regards to Zero, we are expanding. We are aggressively expanding. This year, we grew Zero by 23%. And then if you go to see the different segments, it was a high single digit, around 7% in established. It was double digit, very strong in developing. And obviously, the launch in Russia had a very positive effect in emerging. So that's why we see the 23% cycling, also a very strong growth in 14. So we do see that there is a huge untapped potential with Zero across all three segments. Obviously, established and developing is one of our key priorities, and we are very happy to see that the Taste the Feeling campaign and the one brand strategy will be a very positive platform to grow that further. Now, going to Russia, organized trade is close to one-third, a bit more than one-third
of our total sales, so still fragmented, is a very important part of sales. Now, obviously, in the last couple of years, and definitely the last 2 years, I would say organized trade by far has been the one that has been having better trends than anything else. And this is something that we will, we are expecting will continue in the next couple of years. So we see organized trade expanding and having better trends than organized trade, than fragmented trade. And with that, let me pass to Michalis for your first question.
Yes, hi, Tristan. So yes, input cost excludes any distribution costs. Input cost is all raw materials excluding concentrate. And on your other question, I won't go to the granularity of distribution costs, but just to give you some color, the cost to supply, as we call it, which is haulage, distribution and warehousing, all the logistics, is around low double digit as percent of revenue in our cost structure.
Thank you. That's very insightful. Just to follow up on the Coke Zero one, just on the gross margin on that one. Obviously, it doesn't have a big sugar input side to the cost of things. So, is the gross margin bigger on Zero, or is that captured? Is some of that captured in the concentrate costs?
I mean, the margins are more or less the same, Tristan.
Okay.
Across my Coke.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our final question is from the line of Chris McDonald from Redburn in London. Please go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. So I've just got two questions. In terms of Nigeria, I wonder if you could give us a bit more clarity on the price mix development throughout the year, and whereas last year and the year before it was all about affordability. So should we assume that a bit of pricing coming back into that market, or is it still a big focus on affordability? And in terms of Russia, how do you see the volume growth developing for the year, and are you expecting to, you know, what can we expect in terms of volume growth and your assumptions? Thank you.
Yes, starting with Russia, in 2015 we have seen the market going down NARTD double digit, with our performance being mid single digit at 6 negative. We started the year with the same negative trend, and I'm referring to the market. So the market is still double-digit for Q1, and our current read, and here with, you know, huge volatility, but our current read is that the double-digit market will continue for the first semester. From then on, our expectation is that we will see a gradual improvement towards the end of the year. And at this point of time, again, with the great volatility in the market, we believe that this year is going to be a year where the overall decline will decelerate. We have been in a low double-digit negative in 2015. Now, the rate of deceleration, it is far too early, so we cannot say if it's still going to stay low double digit or if it will go to high single digit. In any case, we will outperform the market. Now, outperforming the market and still at a very early stage, we do not see 2016 being a year where volume will grow in Russia. Going to Nigeria, Nigeria is and will continue to be an affordability market. With this in mind, we did not take any pricing in 2015, and currently we do not work on having any major price increase. Obviously, this will depend on the potential developments of the currency, which we will see and then evaluate. All in all, we still believe that affordability is the key element, and we have been addressing, we think, very successfully overall affordability in Nigeria.
Great, thank you. And one quick follow-up, if I may, on Russia. If we still think that there's going to be volume declines and the like, can we expect a bit of pricing in the market this year to offset that somewhat, or is that affordability is the aim?
Absolutely, and Russia has been, with the currency we have seen in 2015, has been a key market where we took pricing. And 16 also will be a market where we will take pricing. Just to remind you, last year, in the beginning of the year, we took a high single digits, and towards the end of the year, Q4, we did another mid-single digits. So this is more or less the pricing that we do see. And again, having in front of us a very volatile market. So yes, we will take pricing in Russia also in 2016.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the Q&A for today's event. I'm now handing over to Mr. Dimitri Loi to conclude today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, operator. I want to thank you for joining us today and for all your questions that facilitated a good discussion around our full-year results. Let me leave you with the following thoughts. We have a clear strategy and we have seen evidence of delivery in 2015. Our focus for 16 is to build on this year's good performance with another year of volume and revenue growth along with margin expansion. We are confident that our proven strategy combined with our leading market position and broad geographic exposure also position us well in the medium to long term. Thank you very much, and we look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Thank you, operator.